So John is staying home with Carolyn today. Anita's going to give you an update on her, and she's doing fine, but she may have to have some surgery this coming week. So he's staying home, but he wrote this letter for today on the Israeli war and his thoughts and some words of comfort for us, hopefully. And so he was he wanted to go ahead and talk about that. So a little bit of a change in routine. We're actually going to have John. In fact, John is on right now to talk about this letter. And to give us some words of encouragement. I think Carolyn's going to pop in and say hi as well. So we'll do that till about 9:30 or so. And then we'll continue with Anita introducing folks and move on. All right, thank you.
Hi, you all. Wish I was out there with you. Thanks for all your prayers and everything that you as a class have done for us and for me. And just continue to pray that things work out well.
Okay, I've been thinking about the unfolding issue in Israel, and I thought it might be helpful to talk a bit about that situation and fill you in on some thoughts we had. So I wrote a little paper that I think has been distributed to you, but I'll summarize it, and it's just a way of saying, here's what's happening. Obviously, we all know that Hamas killed quite a few Israelis, captured more, some, and precipitated this tragedy that's unfolding. We have talked to several of our friends repeatedly in Israel, a couple times each, and I'm trying to get a read on how they feel. One said, very hard to keep calm, kind of going crazy. Another, my family and I are safe, although going through a very hard time with the country, standing strong, looking forward to peace. Another said, it's probably as bad as it's been since 1973, the Yom Kippur War. So what's really happening? What's the background to fill in a few pieces of data? And I pose five questions. One, who are the Palestinian people? Obviously, they are Arab stocks. They are mostly Muslim in religion. They resided in the land that we would call the Holy Land prior to the 1948 War of Independence. When that War of Independence took place, Israel was invaded by three nations, Syria, Egypt, and Jordan. Out of that conflict, many Palestinians living in the land feared that they feared Israeli repercussions, and many fled out of the country. Those who lived in the country and stayed became Arab citizens or Israeli citizens. Those who fled to the neighboring countries and simply became refugees, but none of the Arab countries around them wanted them. So the Palestinian people are a people that have no country, no citizenship, and they're not wanted by any of the surrounding Arab Muslim countries. What that really means is that they found themselves in refugee camps in Jordan at one occasion. That's what they are now. So Palestinians are people that lived prior in the land of Israeli independence, 1948, May 14th, but fled for fear. And now no country will take them in, and they're just floating. Why are they called Palestinians? they're called Palestinians because in this, when the second Roman rebellion occurred, we all know that one occurred in 68 to 70 AD that brought about the destruction of the temple, but not the nation. In 132 to 34, a second false Messiah came. His name is Bar Kokhba, and he claimed to be the Messiah. And you have a second Jewish revolt. This one destroyed the nation and scattered it. And what the Romans wanted to do was to destroy any hint of the Jewish people in the Holy Land. So they renamed, this is under Emperor Hadrian, they renamed Jerusalem Aelia Capitolina. They said it would forever be called that, Aelia Capitolina, after Emperor Hadrian, and they expunged the name Israel, and they said forever it will be called Palestina. So the Palestinian people are claiming that the Jews never had the land, that they are the true inhabitants of the land, not the Israelis. So, but we would say that God made a promise 3,000 years ago to Abraham, reaffirmed in Genesis 12, 15, 17, 22, that that would be their land, which was affirmed in the Joshua conquest. So Jews have been in the land since about 1400 BC. So there is a historical conflict there. Third question, how did the Palestinian people come to live in Gaza and in the West Bank? In the 1967 Six-Day War, Israel claimed the Gaza from Egypt. They were victorious and erected several settlements alongside the Arab population of Gaza, those who didn't flee, Palestinians. However, in the 1990s, President William Clinton signed with the Palestinians and Israel what is called the Oslo Accords. What that was an exchange of land for peace. So the Israelis gave up the Gaza, that area so important now, as a land concession with the promise that they would have peace. It was signed by Mr. Clinton, the Israeli political power, Knesset, and by Yasser Arafat, who founded the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. So I think Jewish people would say the big mistake they made is exchanging land for peace. So Palestinians came to self-rule in two major areas, the Gaza and what Jordan calls the West Bank. Jordan has never recognized Israel's right to the land west of the Jordan River. So the crisis emerged following the 67 war and the Oslo Accords. Now, what has happened? So, one, who are the Palestinians? They're refugees with no country. Why are they called Palestinians? They go back to the second century AD when the Romans renamed the land, and they claim to be its ancient inhabitants. Now, what is Hamas? The Hamas, a terrorist organization, the word means violence. So Hamas is not, as a party, they are not committed to a land for peace. And what they have done, it's also called the Islamic Resistance Movement. It's Sunni. The Sunni, there's a division between Sunnis and Shias. The Sunnis are the more radical. Long story short, in following the Intifada, the uprising of 1987, Hamas gained political power, began to gain political power in Gaza, because Gaza and the West Bank were self-ruling. So in other words, this radical Muslim party committed to the abolition and extinction of Israel gradually took over authority in Gaza. So Hamas controls Gaza, or did. In the West Bank, it is controlled by an organization called Fatah, F-A-T-A-H, which is, its president is Abbas, Mohammed Abbas. The difference between the two parties is that Fatah is seeking coexistence and two autonomous nations, one Palestinian, the other Israel, in the same land. The Hamas is, and the Hezbollah of Lebanon, are committed to the extinction of Israel and one nation in what we call the Holy Lands. Now, so that's about the gist of it. The Fatah is willing to negotiate and be nonviolent. The Hamas does not share that view. The Fatah wants to coexist. The Hamas does not. So I think the fifth question is this. What is the significance eschatologically of what has unfolded in early October? Here's my theory. There are many shadows. We all know that the day of Armageddon is coming. We do not know when it's coming. And I think life for us is full of shadows, both in anticipation of the judgment day, when the Lord Jesus will become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and gather his people into a forever heaven. There is also other shadows, dark shadows, in the history of mankind that speak of judgment that is also coming. So simply, I think I've said it before, when good things happen to me or our family, I always think, here is a picture of heaven. And so there are many pictures of heaven in all of our lives. There's weddings, there's reunions, there's the birth of children. We are a blessed people, and there are many shadows in each of our lives that tell us of the faithfulness of God. As you look at human history, there's also dark shadows that tell us that the world is broken and that judgment, hopefully someday, will be meted out upon those who have rejected the Messiah. We've seen it in our century. We've seen it in two world wars. Mussolini was said to be the Antichrist. We saw it in Hitler, who certainly looked like one. We've seen it with Pol Pot. We've seen it with Rwanda. Just dark shadows. So both are occurring simultaneously. So the question really is, are we seeing another shadow of judgment to come among the nations? Or are we seeing the harbinger of the reign of our Lord? The simple answer to that question in my mind is that you and I will not know until after the last day. So we know judgment is coming. We know blessing is coming. We do not know whether this is another repetitive shadow of judgment, or if it's a shadow of the coming of the end of times and our gathering to the Lord. We will only know that after the great day occurs. So, our hope and security are to be found in the character of God, not in circumstances, which is the foundation of his promises. Hope is rooted in his character, and his promises are only as good as his character. Our trust is not in the interpretation of circumstances, of which we are poor discerners at best. We trust the one who said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So I think the Christian hope is not being spared from a horrible day. We hope it never comes. Our hope is a person, the Lord Jesus. We have no warrant for a heaven on earth that was smashed in Genesis 3. Before the King of Heaven comes to comfort us. Comfort in our day is not found in why questions or what questions. It is found in a who question. Who will you trust? It is that God. It is that God would bring favorable outcomes in a fallen world, and that he would provide for you in your deepest need and circumstances, carrying you safely to heaven, where there will no longer be pain, sorrow, loss, and death. We all seem better at trust when times appear secure. We tend to have less in uncertain times. It is a matter of focus. What do you focus on? So as I look at what is happening, I don't know the ultimate outcome. I know that God will keep his promises to us. I know that he will someday give the land that he promised to Abraham to his people. So we simply trust and pray. That's it. Thank you for giving me a little time just to speak into the matter. And if the Lord lets us return next Sunday, we could take questions if you want to, or call us. Thank you. Bye-bye.